Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The final buzzer has sounded, and the game's over. It's time to talk about who played well and who didn't. It's the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops Postgame Show, served up by Wendy's. The new Potawatomi Sportsbook is the ultimate sports fan experience. The state-of-the-art venue opens this May at the Potawatomi Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. Now, let's get to your calls and reaction from the game with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Now that there was a beautiful thing. Just a beautiful thing for the Milwaukee Bucks. You are facing one of the best teams in the Western Conference, one of the best teams in basketball, and the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you took it to them. And not only did you take it to them, you pretty much dominated them in the second half of this basketball game, and you go on to win this basketball game 118-93. I'm curious about some things because there's a lot to talk about on this one. But I want to know from you, what was the most impressive thing that happened in this game for you from the Milwaukee Bucks perspective? What's the most impressive thing that you talk about this game and you're going to talk to your buddies at work tomorrow or texting with your buddies during the game tonight or going back and forth with people on Facebook or Twitter? What was the most impressive thing to you tonight? Because there was a lot of good stuff. I mean, as a Bucks fan, there was a lot of happy, positive stuff in tonight's game. What was it for you? Let's communicate on the phones and talk like normal people. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Again, keep that phone number in your cell phone going forward so you have it after every Bucks post, after every Bucks game. You call in, you talk to me about the game. More callers, the better the post game show. That's my belief. 414-677-1250. What's the most impressive thing to you about this Bucks victory tonight? 118-93. Now, I know I'm not dumb. Some of you may think I am, but I'm not that dumb. Again, going against the NCAA tournament, I'm not quite sure how many people even turn this game on at any point tonight because everybody's more concerned about their NCAA tournament brackets and all that fun stuff and watching to see how that all goes. First off, Badgers are gone. No big surprise there, considering Greg Gard has not been to the Sweet 16 in 7 years. He was only there his first 2 years. And I've been going back and forth with people on social media about whether or not Greg Gard deserves to keep his job. So that's a story for another day. You can just go look at Sparky Radio on Twitter for all of that talk. Marquette, they get a win. No big surprise there over Colorado. Shaka Smart and Marquette moves on to the Sweet 16. And again, big expectations for them because of where they are seated. Elite Eight, obviously, is the expectation. And then if you can figure out how to get to the Final Four, even better. So that's the two local teams in the NCAA tournament. That summed that up. Everybody else crushing your brackets or causing you to rip them up and burn them. It is what it is. But I want to talk about this Bucks game. Because there's a lot of positive things to take away from this Bucks game tonight. Chris Middleton. Triple-double for Chris Middleton. First triple-double for Chris Middleton since 2018. Man, that is 6 years ago. That's almost as long as a Badger Sweet 16 streak of not being to the Sweet 16. Their drought. Almost as long. Missed it by a year. 11 points, 10 boards, 10 assists. How nice is it to have a starting five actually play together that you're counting on to play together in the playoffs? I mean, Easter is a week from today. And then the next day is April 1st. And the playoffs start in April. So, better late than never. Here we go. Now the goal is keep these dudes healthy and on the floor. Been a while since we've seen Jay Crowder come off the bench. Jay Crowder did his thing. He's playing better. He's starting to have more of these games now where he's starting to figure it out a little bit, shooting the basketball better. Literally what he gave you tonight. 10 points, couple boards, couple of assists, 2 of 2 from three, 4 of 4 from the field, 18 minutes. Give me that in the playoffs, I'm good. I'm good. I'm totally fine with that. Bobby Portis, 15 and 6. Couple assists, 3 steals, 7 of 14 from the floor. I'll take that too. That's good too. Fine with that. That's 25 points from just those two guys off the bench. And then whatever you get from Beverly and Connaughton, fine. And Connaughton gave you 11. So you got 3 dudes in double figures off the bench. This Milwaukee Bucks team could be really difficult to beat if you get that consistent of scoring off of the bench from those three. Now, can you? To me, not sure I think Connaughton can do that consistently. Now, playoff Pat, different than regular season Pat. I get it. He tends to play better in the playoffs. So we'll see if he can do it again. Jay Crowder's my next second question. Because again, he hasn't been that guy all year. Now, he's starting to pick up a little bit here lately. But if he can be that guy off the bench, that helps a lot too. So that to me, that's impressive. 3 dudes in double figures off the bench against a top quality team. The best team in the Western Conference. As we talked about before on this show, we started talking about teams that would concern you if you're the Bucks and so forth. I said, Oklahoma City is young. They're young. And they may be the 1 seed or the 2 seed. I don't think they get past Denver. No chance. I just don't. There's too much that changes when you get into the playoffs. Intensity picks up. Coaching picks up. Everything starts going. What happened tonight? Tonight, the Bucks said, nah, we're not going to play it straight up like we would if this was, oh, I don't know, November or December and just play our defense and not worry about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Tonight, the Bucks said, we're going to play it like it's a playoff game. We're going to play it like we want to win this game, and we're going to take this dude out. And guess what? It happened. Held him to 12 damn points. 12 points. That's all that dude had. 5 of 12. Not even a lot of shot attempts. Took him right out of the game. We talk about coaching changes. I don't know what Adrian Griffin's coaching staff would have done defensively by this point. You don't know either. We don't know. But you're starting to see in spurts. Again, like I said, I don't know if you can play aggressively for 4 quarters, for 5 games in a row. I don't know if this team is capable of doing that. but they can do it in stretches. And tonight, they game plan to stop Alexander, and it worked. And if you go back and you look, because I want to look and see game log-wise, as far as when was the last time this dude was held to 12 or less points, had it happened all season long. He was held to 19 points at the Clippers on January 16th. So that was under 20. As you continue to go back, he was held to 17 points at Dallas December 2nd. They won that game. 17 points. But he played 39 minutes. It wasn't like, you know, he was resting. 17 points. He was held to 7 points in a blowout loss at or home against Denver, the third game of the season, and again, a blowout. He only played 28 minutes. He was 2 of 16 from the floor for 7 points. So they held him to the second least amount of points all season in 12 points and 5 of 12 shooting. That is something. To me, we start talking about what's most impressive. To me, that's most impressive. Of every points, and again, because you game plan for him, right? You're running two guys at him, doing different stuff. That is impressive. Because that what that tells me is, when you get to the playoffs and you decide, I'm going to stop Donovan Mitchell, you've seen they can game plan to take a dude out. And that's exactly kind of what happened. And hopefully, when you face these Eastern Conference guys, you can game plan and it will work as effectively as it did tonight. Maybe you don't hold the guy to 12, but if the guy's averaging, you're playing 25, 27 points and you hold him to 15 to 17, 15 to 18, that's a winner. We'll take it. Win Milwaukee Bucks. That's what you want to be able to do. That's what I want to continue to see going forward. So to me, that was most impressive. This is one of the best offenses in the league. You held him under 100 points to only 93 points, folks. Defense, defense, defense. And then what about rebounding? We're going to go inside the box here after the first break. 38 boards for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, you look at box scores every night like we do, you're normally going to be right around 40, 42, 43, maybe 45. That's kind of normally where you are as a team. Normally, somewhere in the 40s. Your Milwaukee Bucks tonight had 57 rebounds. 57! Punch him in the mouth. That's what that was. 57! We told you Middleton had a triple-double. 10 boards. 19 more added on by Giannis, who had 30 points. 19 boards for Giannis, 10 for Middleton. The biggest dude on the floor had 3, Brooke Lopez. Typical. But that is how you're going to beat the Bostons of the world. That's how you're going to beat Oklahoma City. That's how you're going to beat Minnesota. That's how you beat Denver. You rebound at that rate and play defense and chasing defense and suffocating defense and being in their airspace. That's how you win a championship. That's how you finish. That's what you need to see from this Bucks team every night. And when you don't see it, you can point back to games like this and go, I know you're capable. Show me what you showed me in that game. A lot of times, defense is effort. Sometimes it's game plan. Tonight, there was definitely game planning involved. But it's also effort, chasing. And in the beginning of that basketball game, that wasn't there in the beginning. Oklahoma City Thunder had an open three. Nobody in the Bucks bothered to even run at the guy. There was a possession or two later. Another shot, wide open. Giannis runs at him, never puts up his hands. Never put up his hands. Just kind of jogged at him. Like, what are we doing? Come on, let's go. And eventually, it picked up, and everything was fine. In the beginning, though, I was a little bit concerned about what that defense was going to look like the rest of the game. But this is how you win. It's how you win a championship. And if you can tell I'm fired up, that's good, because I'm trying to tell you through the radio how fired up I am. This was a huge, huge win. Because now Doc Rivers can go in there and go, look, that team over there, that's the best team in the West. We dismantled them in the second half. Stomped on them. You all had like a 16-0 run, 18-0 run, whatever it was, and pulled away and held those cats scoreless for a majority of the third quarter. You took care of business. This is what I need to see night in, night out. This is how we have to play. You're capable of it. Now let's do it consistently going forward. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about anything else. And that's what I want to see. I want to see more of that. Love of God. All right, let's go to our first call. Q, you're up first here on the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show, served up by Wendy's. Bucks win 118-93. What's up, Q?
Holy cow, man. I was at the game tonight. The crowd was electric. And, like, it's unbelievable that our bench put up 30. Like, earlier in the year, our bench was scoring, like, less than 10 or 12 points a game. Like, we were getting tripled and quadrupled up from the bench. And it's just really, really cool to see what Doc Rivers has manufactured in such a short period of time. I don't think it's possible, but he would get my vote for Coach of the Year. Like, this has just been such a tremendous turnaround. And what's amazing is, like, Dame didn't even have that great of a game, and we just destroyed, like, the number one team in the West.
Right.
And, like, they're the second best offense in the league, and we held them under 100 points. And, like, our starters would have kept them under 90 if they would have kept them in.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I'm like, so encouraged. And, like, the triple-double for Chris, like, that came out of nowhere. Like, that's just amazing. Like, I don't know. Even Gallo hitting a three, like, everything that could have gone right went right tonight. So, I'm right there with you. I'm super pumped up, Sparky.
Yeah, and everybody should be super pumped up at this point. What was the talk in the stands at Fiserv Forum around you? Were people feeling it as much as, you know, you and I are feeling it?
Yeah, I mean, everyone is just thrilled. And, my section 121, like, they've been pretty critical and almost down on the team.
You got good seats
here with Griffin. It's just exciting to see. Like, I think there's just a different energy, and I don't know. I'm not scared of anyone in the East, and it'll be interesting. We play the Thunder again in a couple weeks in OKC, and they're gonna want revenge. So, but we got another big game Tuesday against the Lakers. They're going to be hungry. Like, the Lakers need to win to do anything, like, to improve their seeding. So,
Q, I'm going to ask you what I said at the beginning of the show. You were obviously in the stadium. What was the most impressive thing about tonight's win for the Bucks? Whether it's a player, whether it's defense, scheme, whatever. What was the most impressive thing to you?
That's really tough. So, like, I got to give the game ball to Chris and that triple-double. Like, you could tell in the first half, he was stretching. So, like, I don't think his body is 100% there, but it's amazing what he's been able to do in his limited minutes. But also, Giannis putting up, what did he put up, 30 and 19? Like, against, like, none of the other MVP candidates have outperformed him head-to-head this year. So, like, Giannis is my MVP, but he's got to move ahead into the, like, the talk with Joker and
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And to me, that was the most impressive thing tonight. Thanks for the call, Q. That was the most impressive thing. Middleton's triple-double, fine. And I get it, right? It's 2018, been a while. Okay, fine, that's impressive, fine. Giannis 30-19, sure. You held that dude to 12 points. SGA, 12 points. That dude's in the MVP conversation. That dude, according to the talking heads on TV and these NBA writers, is ahead of Giannis in the MVP conversation. Spare me. He's a hell of a player, no doubt. But again, as I've said many times, when you're in the regular season and you're in November, December, January, most of these teams aren't game planning for you. Unless there's a little bit of a rivalry or a little bit of playing games about, you know, looking into the playoffs. You both know you're going to be there. Okay, maybe you have some of that. Like, I'm thinking Spoelstra of Miami. But for the most part, both teams are just running their offense and running their defense. Really aren't game planning all that much. Now, when you get closer to the end, then you'll start to game plan a little bit more. Throw some stuff in. See how everything looks. And tonight, the Bucks game plan to stop SGA, and they did it. People haven't been game planning necessarily like this against that all year. And I have not watched Oklahoma City all year. but I highly doubt that in October, November, and December, they were game planning for him like the Bucks did tonight. Because most people are just running their stuff. That's all they're doing, just running their stuff. It's not like football where there's one game a week and every game is gigantic if whether or not you're going to win the division or be a wild card or make the playoffs or whatever. Not like that. You just play because there's so many games. So there's not as much time necessarily to worry about focusing on whatever. You're just trying to get your house in order. So when you get to March and April, you got everything in order and you can make that push and then throw in stuff to kind of game plan for certain guys. That's the most impressive thing tonight. Slowing that dude down and stopping that. Now, again, tomorrow morning, what's it going to be? Is it going to be, man, did you see those Bucks last night? Maybe Doc Rivers has them figured out. Maybe they're going here. Right? Boston, Oklahoma City. Like, what is the talking narrative going to start to be about the Bucks? When does the narrative start that maybe Doc Rivers and this Bucks team has kind of started to figure things out a little bit here? Maybe. Now, you lost that Celtics game, and I was just wanting to see where it was going to go. What was the narrative going to be? And for the most part, I was pretty happy. Because they took into account there was no Giannis, and they lost by three. And I thought for sure it was going to go the other way, where Boston's clearly the best team. It really wasn't that bad that next day. And you look at it, you've won four of your last five games. Four of your last five. You beat the Sixers. You beat the Suns. Lost to the Celtics without Giannis. Came back, beat the Nets. Fully healthy because that Nets game you had no Middleton. You come back tonight with a starting five that's going to be the starting five in the playoffs. And you dismantle the Oklahoma City Thunder. And now you look at the next games. Home against the Lakers, like Q was saying, on Tuesday. Thursday at the Pelicans. Zion Williamson and folks. Then you get another day off, and then it's at the Hawks on NBA TV. I mean, you're starting to get towards the end of the season. That Hawks, that Wizards game, after the Hawks game, that's your first game in April. And then you can see the finish line. And next time this Bucks team sees the Thunder is April 12th. That's second to last game of the year. And that's sandwiched in between the Orlando Magic in Milwaukee, and then the last game of the year is at the Orlando Magic. That's where that next Thunder game is. And then you have a Celtics game right before that Magic Thunder Magic thing ends at the end of the year. So last four games, home against the Celtics, home against the Magic, at Thunder, at Magic. If Giannis is going to have a chance to win the MVP, they have to continue playing at this level, where they're continuously winning four of every five now the rest of the way out. Or maybe they win 8, 9, 10 in a row here and get on a run and have Giannis be that guy on the run. And this Bucks team get hot. And the Bucks be the team everybody's talking about going to the playoffs. Then I think Giannis can still, somehow or another, sneak out of here with an MVP possibly. But they've got to get red hot in order to give him a chance. He should be the MVP. I'm not sitting here trying to tell you that I disagree with him not being the MVP. He should be the MVP. With everything this team has been through this year, everything this dude had to deal with Adrian Griffin, he's like damn near running the practices, drawing up plays, doing everything else, stressing out when he goes to bed at night about what they're going to do the next day like he's a damn head coach. All that. No other player in the NBA was doing that nonsense this year. Nobody. And they were still the 2 seed when Griffin got fired because Giannis was doing all this nonsense. Please. Man should be the MVP. I don't think it's even close. All right, Bucks get the win tonight. I am all fired up. I hope I don't lose my voice. 118-93, what was the most impressive thing to you? The takeaway from tonight's game for you, 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Also, I'm looking forward to having Brian Sampson on. And, of course, if you don't know who that is, have no fear. You probably follow him on social media, on Twitter. At Bucks Film Room does a great job breaking down Bucks film throughout the course of every year. He's been doing it for a number of years. Looking forward to having him on. He'll join us coming up here at 9:20. Plenty of room for you to hop aboard. That's coming up next here on the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Pro Hoops Post Game Show, served up by Wendy's. And when the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. Go get yourself that free small frosty within 24 hours of a Bucks victory like tonight. And don't forget, they got that orange dreamsicle frosty right now. Delicious. I'm telling you, you better get it because it's for a limited time only. Do not regret not getting an orange dreamsicle frosty. Go now.
Who made the highlight play going to the basket tonight? It's time for the drive of the game on the Potawatomie Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show, served up by Wendy's with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Bucks victory. It was a beautiful thing at that here on a Sunday night. 118-93 over the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. Just a beautiful thing for numerous reasons. Chris Middleton, triple-double. Giannis, 30-19 tonight. Put up tonight, got him over the mark. We'll play you that highlight in a little bit. Got him over the mark for most points in a season that he's ever had in his entire career as a Buck. So already, he scored more points this year than he did any other single season of his career. And they've got several games to go to add on to that mark. And he's not in the MVP conversation. You must be kidding. All right, check out this drive of the game, courtesy of Bally Sports, Wisconsin.
High school teammate of Trey Young out of Norman, Oklahoma.
Lob pass. Giannis cleans it up and plunges it through with a thunderous one-hand slam. And there is that cash money, the Greek Freak connection again.
That's what, 10 assists for Chris Middleton. A beautiful oops upside your head. Lob pass to Giannis.
Only none better than that one. Giannis climbed the ladder to send that one down.
That was a great play. That was there in the fourth quarter. And again, it was about 6 minutes to go. Now, if I have to nitpick anything about this game, the one thing I will nitpick is I don't like seeing guys like Giannis in this game up 20, 25 points in the fourth quarter. To me, if this thing gets down to 10 or 12 again, okay, fine. Then you put him back in. Why not just give him rest? Why not just let him sit and watch and make sure he's good? That game was well in hand at that point against Oklahoma City. Well in hand. And they still had him out there. Now, again, if I have a ticket to the game, I'm at Fiserv Forum. Yeah, that's great, right? My kid's all excited. Gets to watch more yachts. Gets to see that big alley-oop. I understand from that perspective. But from a big picture perspective, I don't want him playing all those minutes in the fourth quarter when you're in control of the basketball game. That's just me, though. Let's go back out to the phones. One thing impressed you the most from tonight's Bucks victory over Oklahoma City, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. You can also tweet us at 1250 AM, The Fan. Mike in Shorewood, you're next here on the Potawatomie Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show served up by Wendy's. What's up, Mike?
What's up, Sparky? To me, without a doubt, the thing that stands out in this game is the defense. You're holding one of the most elite offenses to under 100 points, which get back to what Doc wanted to implement. Just outstanding. The OKC has so many weapons. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I think he probably had his worst offensive game of the season. It's rare that he gets held way under his total. I think he had like, what, 10 points or something like that. I just love that the way they just suffocated Milwaukee. They couldn't get really anything going, and Milwaukee just really controlled there's a pace and tempo of this game because OKC likes to get out and run and yep. gun because they're the highest scoring team in the league. So that's the tempo they love to play that. And the Bucks would never allow them to get in that rhythm. Giannis obviously was spectacular on both ends of the floor, but Middleton, you see, he's starting to get to form. He's impressive. The bench, I mean, Portis, Crowder, I mean, you couldn't ask for anything more. They were just efficient on offense. And just the defense was spectacular. They play like this, man. They're gonna beat anybody. So now they got they're basically gonna be locked in that two seed is where they want to be. And just you want to continue to build on this, just playing good ball going into the playoffs because when they're clicking like this, man, they're as tough as any team in the league. So hopefully we see that because this was a tough test against I think OKC and basically had the number one seed with Denver, and you really just took it to them. And we already saw what they did to Boston. So you come to Pfizer, man, against this team when they're rolling, they can beat you down and just put it on you. So hell of a win tonight. And following what Marquette did in the Sweet 16, just great day in Milwaukee basketball. So
and I agree with you, Mike. I want to follow up on something. So earlier in the year, this team struggled against the Pacers because, like Indiana, they like to shoot threes, they like to get up and run and get out, and they made the Bucks look old and slow. Is that still a concern of yours if you were to see Indiana?
No, I don't think so. Because I think remember, they were still trying to find their identity. Obviously, that was under the previous coach. And now you see there they've got a new rhythm, and plus now they got Middleton back, so that or that adds another dynamic. As I think, to me, the Pacers are a good team, but I just don't think they're at the notch where if you play them in a series, they're going to be able to continually do that. If you, obviously, throughout the season, they're going to be able to do that, you know, because you're playing so many different games. But I think once you get them in a series, I think when you're able to game plan for them, it's going to be a totally different goal game. And plus having to play at Pfizer, I think it's going to be a totally different rhythm. They're a tough team, but I think Milwaukee is going to take it up a notch. And now that they're starting to find their rhythm identity, it's going to be completely different if that's the series we get to see. And a lot of people are hoping we do get to see that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thanks for the call. I don't worry about the Pacers either. I don't. Haliburton's not been the same. That team hasn't been the same. They've been beset by some injuries, too. I don't worry about that. But again, that was a narrative, which is when you have a younger, more athletic team, you can beat this Bucks team. And I was watching them under Adrian Griffin. I was there. I was in that narrative. I was feeling that narrative like, yeah, maybe they're screwed. Maybe they are just too old. Maybe this is a thing. But clearly not. Clearly, it had some coaching. It had some want to from that Bucks team under Adrian Griffin, whatever the case may be. And now with Doc and this coaching staff, you can just see how much better they are defensively, regardless of what the other team appears to be. Younger, more athletic, bigger, more physical, whatever. Whatever you put in front of them now, it feels like they can have an answer for, you know, if they're game planning and ready to go. This game tonight really helped my confidence because it really showed against a team like the Thunder, who are an explosive offensive team, that when this team locks in, they can slow down about anybody. But they have to be locked in. And they have to be present in the moment for the entire thing. And that gives you hope, I would say, as a Bucks fan, that when you get to the playoffs, that this is what you're going to see. This type of team. This type of intensity. If they play like this, with that swarming style defense in the playoffs, they will have a chance to win the whole damn thing. Without question. They will. Lillard wasn't on tonight by any stretch. And they still took care of business, even with Lillard not being on tonight. Imagine if Lillard, Giannis, and Milton are all playing well, and they're playing defense. Just give them the trophy. It's over. Let's go home. I really, you know, that. And again, there's a lot of ifs, right? If Giannis, Middleton, and Giannis are all playing well on the same night, and if your defense is playing well, those are two big ifs all have happened on the same game. But in that scenario, nobody in this league beats this team. Nobody.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it
in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
No chance. They win. Pick any team you want. Don't care who's on the other team. This Bucks team will win. End of story. Case closed for me. Got some tweets coming in as well at 1250 AM The Fan and at Sparky Radio. Dominic says, most impressive thing tonight from the Bucks game is that the Bucks made SGA look like a player who should not be considered as an MVP. Doc Rivers' defensive scheme and unselfish basketball is the reason the Bucks dominated this game. And he tweeted that one at Sparky Radio. And we really didn't talk necessarily a ton about, you know, ball movement necessarily in this game. And here's a good example of it. This basket made it 59-49. I like courtesy of Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Bucks trying to get it to double digits for the first time tonight. That ball's moving like a hot potato now. And there's Malik Beasley. He'll put the Bucks up in front by 10.
Good patience by Giannis. Not to force things against the double team. Take what the defense gives you.
That is something that was happening throughout this game. The ball movement, I tweeted back in the early in this game, was excellent. Defensively, they were playing good. And then that just continued to pick up. They weren't playing as much one-on-one basketball. And sometimes this Bucks team will fall into that trap where it's a me versus you game. Which, I mean, let's be honest. When you've got two of the best players in the world in Lillard and Giannis, it's okay if you fall into that trap, providing they're both, you know, playing well. Then it makes sense. The problem is when you get to playing like that, you risk guys standing with their hands on their hips and watching. And now guys aren't cutting, guys aren't moving, and that screws up the offense. So you got to be careful a little bit that it doesn't become too much one-on-one basketball, because then you lose guys. And if you lose guys on the offensive side of the floor, more times than not, you'll lose them on the defensive side of the floor. Because if they become disinterested on that side, good luck trying to get them back interested on the other side. Now, are there exceptions to the rule? Sure. There are guys that are in this league because of how good they are defensively, not because of their offense. And those that are know their role, know who they are, and it doesn't matter what happens on the offensive side of the floor because they're out here to rebound the basketball or play great lockdown defense against a guard or be a big-time shot blocker. They're not out there for their points. There are less and less of those guys in this league, mind you. Maybe you think about a Hall of Famer like Dennis Rodman. He wasn't out there for offense. He was just out there to rebound the damn basketball. That's all his job was. They weren't asking him to shoot threes. They weren't asking him to have five dunks a game. They weren't asking him to do anything. Just rebound the ball and get the ball to the scorer. That's it. And once in a while, he'd have fun and maybe jack up a three just to show everybody he could maybe hit a three. But for the most part, it was never about offense. So him, you didn't have to worry about if he didn't touch the ball. But most other players that are playing in the NBA, you don't have an ego to them. Want to score the basketball. Want to get their shots. And if you're not going to give them the basketball and they never see it and they never touch it to even have an opportunity to take a shot, then they'll become disinterested. And like I said, if it happens on the defensive, on the offensive side of the floor, well, good luck getting them reinterested in what's going on when you're back on the other side of the floor and asking them to play defense. That's why, to me, it's very critical that you continue to have ball movement. Doc has been very critical of that as well. Now, the other thing Doc has been critical of is a certain time of the game. And tonight, in one specific instance, they were horrible in that time of game in which he was concerned about. I'll tell you all about that coming up next here on the Potawatomi Pro Pro Hoops postgame show. Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show. Served up by Wendy's. Bucks get the win 118-93. Still to come. Again, we'll talk to my guy, Bucks Film Room, on Twitter. Brian Sampson will join us coming up here in about 20 minutes. Also going to hear from Doc Rivers, too. Chris Middleton, it looked like, talked after the game. So get to all of that straight ahead here on 1250 AM, The Fan.
The final buzzer has sounded, and the game's over. It's time to talk about who played well and who didn't. It's the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show, served up by Wendy's. The new Potawatomi Sportsbook is the ultimate sports fan experience. The state-of-the-art venue opens this May at the Potawatomi Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. Now, let's get to your calls and reaction from the game with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome in. The Bucks get the victory tonight, 118-93. 118-93 for your Milwaukee Bucks over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Chris Middleton with a triple-double. So that was good. Then you have Giannis surpassing his single-season total, most ever in a single season in his career. That happened tonight. So that was a positive. You stop SGA to 12 points, 3 boards, 2 assists. He did have 3 steals and a block in 30 minutes on 5 of 12 shooting. To me, that was the most impressive thing that happened tonight for the Milwaukee Bucks. So that was good. So a lot of good things that happened tonight. One thing that I was concerned about, Doc Rivers pointed this out a few games back. And he said to him, something that's very important is the last 3 minutes of quarters. Because, again, he believes in momentum and so forth. But the last 3 minutes of quarters is something that he wanted to make sure that this team did better at finishing. So that was a goal kind of going forward to see how that would play out. The last 3 minutes of the second quarter tonight, no bueno. You talk about this. They were up 44-35. The Bucks were at that point. So you had a 9-point lead. You ended the half, thanks to Middleton hitting a jumper with 5 seconds left, with a 1-point lead. At one point, with 24 seconds left, you were losing. You blew that whole thing in the last 3 minutes of the second quarter. That's the type of stuff. And again, we're talking about, you know, a great game, very happy with what they did, but just pinpointing different things here. Going off of what Doc Rivers has said that he'd like to see, of things that, you know, didn't necessarily go according to plan. If he had to script it out, you'd like to see that Bucks team hold that 9-point advantage or build on the 9-point advantage going into half. And instead, you let the whole thing slip away and made it a coin flip game again at halftime. So that's something that they can continue to work on kind of going forward here. And I'm anxious. Now, here's something else. If you're watching on Bally Sports Wisconsin, you saw this. Or maybe you saw the quotes after the game. But remember, I made a big point of this the last game, the last postgame show that we had. Because in the postgame interview with Melanie Ricks, Dame Lillard, after they beat the Nets 115-108, he had 2 big steals in the fourth quarter of that game. And he kind of made a statement along the lines of, I can do this. I'm good. I'm better than people give me credit for defensively and so forth. And when he got done saying it, if you go back and listen to the podcast of this show at 1250amthefan.com or on your Odyssey app, if you go back and listen to it, you'll hear me get all excited like, oh, maybe I was wrong. Maybe Dame Lillard wasn't okay necessarily with Doc pulling him out at the end of the game. Maybe this is Dame Lillard going, I can play defense, and I'm going to show you I can play defense, and I don't want to be pulled out of another damn game again like he was earlier a few games back. Remember the D'Angelo Russell game? At the end of that game, he pulled him out to put Pat Beverly on D'Angelo Russell. So, or no, that wasn't the game that happened. That happened after that. That game, he left Lillard in there against D'Angelo Russell, and I lost my mind because they didn't run a double like they should have quickly enough. But either way, so he eventually pulled him out in a different game going forward, and I thought that was going to be a problem. I was like, this is not good. This is not going to be a thing. Pulling him out there. So, what ends up happening is, Lillard gets a couple of steals. He talks about it in postgame. Then he goes to his locker, and Melanie Ricks, amongst other reporters, Ozarski from the Journal Sentinel, Eric Name from The Athletic, all crowded around his locker, talking about those couple steals in that game, talking about his defense, and this is what he said.
In my career, you know, I haven't been known as a defender, but down the stretch of games, I've always been able to you know, have a moment or do what I needed to do at the end of a game defensively, and I think it's not always going to result in a steal. Sometimes it might be being a low man and helping somebody else out or just not allowing a guy that you know is going to attack to be the guy to do it and somebody else having to do it or whatever. But like I said, tonight it just happened to be these steals, and when you're on a team of this caliber, I think it's important for everybody to just do whatever you got to do for us to win, because we don't have anything else to play for other than to win.
There's Dame Lillard again. The single best thing that Doc Rivers may have done so far might be of pulling Lillard out of that late game situation a few games back. That might be the single best thing that happened, because since then, Lillard's defense, especially at end of games, has went up, especially in tight games, right? So now that he knows that Doc will do it, he didn't want to get pulled again. So I'm going to show you I deserve to stay out here in these type of games. That's what you want. I mean, again, do I think that should have to happen? No, I don't. No, I don't think that should have to happen in order to get this defense out of Dame at the end of games. I don't think that should be necessary when he's a superstar. So don't get it confused. I don't think it should be necessary. But it happened. He responded. He's talking about it. Perfect. Now let's just keep playing at that level of defense, and we're all good in end-of-game situations, and you don't have to put Pat Beverly back in there. Now, maybe you end up putting, you know, Malik Beasley on the bench and bring Pat Beverly in, but even Beasley has his moments where, you know, he's had some defensive moments. Beasley, again, he plays hard. He hustles, you know? So I don't question whether or not Beasley's trying on defense, ever. Like, he is definitely playing hard and trying, for certain. So that's something else to watch down the stretch here. In close games, you see Beverly come in for Beasley now if Lillard ends up staying on the floor. Or if Doc says, nope, I'm good. We're going to keep these five in here. Pat Bev is going to sit on the bench in the playoffs in close games, and we're just going to go with the five that we have. Because that's going to be the next test. When you get to the playoffs and you get in crunch time, other team needs a basket, their guard's having a great game, does Lillard and Beasley stay in, or does Pat Bev come in for one of them? That's when you're really going to find out where the trust level is between Doc Rivers and the guys that are on the floor in that starting five, as far as who stays out there and who doesn't. Then we'll really kind of learn more about that whole thing. So we shall see how that one goes going forward. All right, let's go inside the box score.
Let's see what the numbers say about today's game as we dive into the box score. It's the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show served up by Wendy's with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 1250 AM, The Fan.
All right, still to come. Coming up next segment, Brian Sampson from Bucks Film Room on Twitter. Very, very good.
We had him on the Green and Growing podcast. He was very good with Nathan Marzion and myself. So you would definitely want to stay tuned for this. This dude breaks down the film, gives you the X's, the O's, what they're doing good, what they're not doing good. So you'll enjoy that interview coming up, so don't go anywhere. Bucks win 118-93. And don't forget, the Potawatomi Sportsbook, baby. It's already good, but it's going to be on another level come May. Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee is about to change what it means to bet big and bet bold with a huge video wall sitting for over 200, an expanded food menu, and more. The new Potawatomi Sportsbook is the ultimate sports fan experience. State-of-the-art venue opens up this May. I'm telling you, it's might just be the best sports book in the Midwest before this whole thing is said and done. And it may not even be arguable at this point with anybody else. So just stay tuned for that one coming up here in May. All right, so the Bucks win 118-93. Giannis, 34 minutes, 13 of 18 from the floor, 4 of 6 from the free throw line, 30 points, 19 rebounds, 4 assists, a block, and 3 turnovers. Chris Middleton, 27 minutes, 5 of 11 from the floor, 1 of 5 from 3. He had 11 points, 10 boards, 10 assists, 1 block, and 5 turnovers for Middleton. Brooke Lopez, 23 minutes, 5 of 11 from the floor, 2 of 5 from 3, 2 of 3 from the free throw line, 14 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, a steal, and a block. Dame Lillard, 33 minutes, 4 of 12 from the floor, 2 of 5 from 3, 1 of 1 from the free throw line, 11 points, 6 boards, 5 assists, and a turnover. Malik Beasley, 25 minutes, 3 of 6 from the floor, 2 of 5 from 3, 8 points, a couple of rebounds to go along with a steal and 1 turnover. Off the bench tonight in meaningful minutes, because those are the minutes we're going to talk about. I'm not going through all these bench guys that played 3 or 4 minutes. Bobby Portis, 28 minutes, 7 of 13 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3, 1 of 2 from the free throw line, 15 points, 6 boards, couple of assists, 3 steals, and 3 turnovers for Bobby Portis. 19 minutes from Pat Connaughton, 5 of 9, 1 of 5 from 3. He must do better than that from 3. 11 points, 1 board, 1 assist, and 1 turnover. And to Connaughton's credit, I mean, you could see he was getting frustrated a little bit by how he wasn't knocking down those threes tonight. You could see it on his face. Jay Crowder, 18 minutes, returned to the bench as the Bucks actually had a healthy starting five finally. 4 of 4 from the field, 2 of 2 from 3, 10 points, 2 boards, 2 assists, and a steal. Bobby Portis. Pat Beverly, 15 minutes, 0 of 2 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3, 1 of 2 from the line, 1 point, 4 board, 4 assists, couple of blocks. Others to get into the game, Andre Jackson Jr., he was playing defense. Thanasis, Livingston, Marshawn Beauchamp, and Gallinari all also got into the game. Bucks shoot 53.3% from the field, 37% for Oklahoma City. Bucks 11 of 34 from 3, which is really down for 3-point attempts for them, I feel like. 32.4% from 3, 10 of 43 for Oklahoma City, 23%. Not going to be many teams shooting 23% from 3, tell you that much. 9 of 14 from the free throw line for the Bucks, so not a lot of free throws tonight. 17 of 22 for Oklahoma City. But the number tonight for the Milwaukee Bucks, rebounding for Oklahoma City. They had 37 boards. As I said earlier in the show, normally the Bucks are, without looking at exactly the numbers, they're right in about mid-40s usually. They had 57 rebounds tonight, folks. 57. That's a huge number of rebounds in a game. And coming into the game, I'm pretty sure the Thunder knew one of the key points for them to win this game was they were going to have to be able to control the glass. And they just never did. They just never did. I mean, Milton had 10 boards by himself. For God's sakes, you can't allow Chris Milton to get 10 boards if you're the other team. That can't be a thing. Milton, by the way, in case you didn't hear, first triple-double for him since 2018. It's been a while for Chris Middleton since he has had a triple-double. And I said earlier as well, Giannis had a big moment tonight, too.
Bobby. No, sir. Giannis gobbles up that rebound. Missed it. Taps it again. And he gets it to drop. So with that, Giannis now has his most points in a season over the course of his career. He's got 2,016 points.
Now, again, the man isn't in the lead for the MVP conversation. Not in the lead. Joker, SGA, definitely both in front of him. And the man is having, arguably, the best year he's had. And he's not even legitimately in the conversation to win the damn thing. That's what I said earlier. They're going to have to get on a streak here where they win a bunch of games in a row And then everybody turns their attention to the Bucks of, they're going to be a problem more than we thought. Doc has them playing at a high, high level, and Giannis is the guy that's the engine behind this whole thing. That's how you're going to get them to turn their heads back to Giannis. Because even though they were the 2-seed when Doc Rivers took over, there was still nobody liking how the Bucks were playing this entire time. Nobody. And then you have a coaching change in the middle of the season in a dude's first year. That's unheard of. And then you bring a guy in from the TV booth who nobody hired in the offseason to come in and be that guy. And there was so much stuff. Most of it was negative leading into this that Giannis just kind of put on the back burner. Like, yeah, regardless, that is a complete nutso show going on over there in Milwaukee. So just move on. And now they've got it all figured out. They're playing better. Offensively and defensively, things going in the right direction now. So now he should start to get some love. That's my thought. All right, coming up next, Brian Sampson will join us from Bucks Film Room. That is straight ahead here on the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops post-game show served up by Wendy's. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. Go get you that free Frosty, free small Frosty within 24 hours of a Bucks victory. No purchase necessary. And they have chocolate or they have orange dreamsicle. I wish they had a swirl of the chocolate and the orange dreamsicle. That could be really good. But the orange dreamsicle is amazing and a limited time only. So make sure to take advantage of that. Bucks get the win tonight, and I am happy, happy. 118-93.
Bobby Portis watches Giannis with a rebound. He's in a crowd. Can he get it back? He does.
When you bring it down, bad things happen.
But there it is. Bad things to OKC in this case.
Brought it down. Made himself the same size as that smallest OKC defender, but Giannis with the strong forearms, able to maintain control of the basketball and then power through the contact. But just a great job attacking the offensive glass like he's done all game long.
That made it 102-77. The Bucks go on for the victory tonight, 118-93. See Sparky Pfeiffer with you. It is the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show served up by Wendy's here on 1250 AM. The Fan. Marcus Johnson made a joke earlier in the broadcast when Giannis bowled his way through Chet Holmgren about Chet Holmgren needing to have some more pancakes. I remember watching an interview with Chad Holmgren when he was getting ready to get drafted, and Chad Holmgren talked about how he didn't want to put on weight. No interest. Nope, I'm good. I'm going to play it this way. Everybody tells me I got to add on weight. I don't want to play it that way. I'll feel slow, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to keep this weight. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know how much weight he could handle. Like, I don't think he can get to be as big as Giannis because of his frame. Could be wrong. I don't think he can get to be that big, but he needs to get bigger. He needs to get bigger than he is right now. Otherwise, it's going to be a struggle for him year in and year out. And I question how healthy he's going to be year in and year out if he doesn't add some size to that frame at some point. Bucks win 118-93. Saw this stat come up from Stat Mamba on Twitter. Giannis has more games with 30-plus points and 10-plus rebounds than 99.8% of all players in NBA history. Let me read that again. Giannis has more games with 30-plus points and 10-plus rebounds than 99.8% of all players in NBA history. Let that sink in. Joining us now, he is our guy. Brian Sampson joins us here. And, of course, you follow him on social media like I do at Bucks Film Room. Does a great job. Brian, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And as far as Chet Holmgren, I was just looking it up. They got him listed at 208 pounds.
No way.
Damian Lillard, who's about a foot shorter, is 195.
There's no way that I doubt it. I bet you he's under 200, and they mark him up in the media guide. I bet you he's not even 208. I bet you he's not even 208. Also want to point out, Brian also is a Bucks writer for Forbes Sports as well. You can read all of his good stuff there. All right, so I want to get your take first, Brian, on defensively what we saw tonight from this Bucks team, because this very well may have been maybe their best defensive performance or one of their best defensive performances we've seen under Doc Rivers.
Yeah, Milwaukee was flying around. They were connected. They were communicating. I think that was the biggest thing of a lot of rotations, a lot of movement, but they were talking to each other out there, and they were flying around the court. And, yeah, I mean, this is their best game defensive rating as well. Their third lowest of the season, but the other two were against the Hornets, so I don't know how much that actually counts. So they were just really flying around. Malik Beasley did a great job on SGA. Held him to, I think, like 5 of 12 shooting for 12 points. Yep. So the entire defense was really connected tonight.
When we talk about this defense kind of going forward, we were talking about this earlier in the show. Dame Lillard gets pulled out earlier by Dog, and Pat Beverly gets put in a close game situation. Dame Lillard responds with a couple steals there in the last game in the fourth quarter and has been talking about, hey, man, okay, everybody wants to talk about my defense, but I can be that guy in a big moment to help when I'm needed to help in that situation. How much do you trust Dame Lillard, Brian, from what you've watched this year in fourth quarter situations?
He's going to have to prove it every single night. Teams are going to go after him. He's the weak link. We saw it again tonight where to start the game, the Thunder were targeting him. Lillard started out on Josh Giddey, and they were putting him into ball screen actions time and time again. So he's going to have to prove it every single night. Teams are going to constantly come after him. Part of that is because he is their worst defender in their starting lineup, but also the more they make him work on defense, the more tired he'll be offensively when he's running the show. So I don't know. I think he has a lot to prove, but teams are going to come after him regardless every single night, especially in the postseason.
Talking with Brian Sampson. He writes for Forbes Sports, covers the Milwaukee Bucks. Also follow him on Twitter or X, whatever you'd like to call it, at Bucks Film Room. Trust me, it is worth the follow. Definitely should be a part of that. He does a great job breaking down the film after Bucks games. What's been the biggest difference, would you say, from what Doc Rivers is doing defensively versus what Adrian Griffin was doing defensively?
I think just the communication. Everybody knows exactly what they're supposed to be doing. They're still ironing out a lot of this stuff as far as where they're supposed to be, but they at least know where they're supposed to be, what are their rotations, what are they trying to accomplish. In the NBA, in basketball, but especially in the NBA, you can't take away everything. The players are too good. There's too much space to guard in the NBA with the bigger court, but they at least know what their priorities are and what the game plan is coming in. You know, we've seen them double. We've seen them trap with Bobby Portis. We've seen them do some drops. So I think that's the biggest thing is Doc Rivers talked about it. The players talked about it, how he went around and went through each player and what's expected of them on a nightly basis.
And that is a huge deal, right? I mean, you can talk about it about in baseball with people in the bullpen wanting to know what their roles are and when they're expected to pitch and so forth. It just makes their job a lot easier. And from a mental standpoint, they know when they're supposed to be ready to come in. And when you can define roles like that with anybody in any sport, it makes life a lot easier for them, for certain. What about Jay Crowder now coming off of the bench? Finally get a full starting five. I said earlier, if Crowder and Portis do this offensively night in, night out in the playoffs, as far as, you know, Portis getting 15 and 6 and Crowder getting 10, that's more than enough for this Bucks team off the bench if they can do it consistently.
Yeah, with Middleton back, moving Crowder to the bench just stabilizes that unit. I think it's really great. Like 10 points, you probably aren't going to get much more than that, but his defense, his intensity, his leadership out there, those are all intangibles that are really important that can help stabilize that second unit. Gallinari didn't play tonight at all in meaningful minutes, and so that's, I think, another benefit is you don't have to go deep in your bench now with Middleton back and Crowder going to that second unit, and he gives them a lot of that dirty work, that hustle, that really that toughness and tenacity that maybe their second unit was lacking for most of the season.
The other thing about this, Brian, when you talk about this Bucks offense and what it's going to look like once you get to the postseason, when Doc Rivers got hired, there was a lot of talk from Doc about that two-man game with Giannis and Lillard, and it really hasn't looked necessarily the way I think Doc wants it to look. It started to look better after the All-Star break for certain, but still, the chemistry with Middleton and Giannis, far better. The chemistry with Dame and Lopez, far better. I just wonder whether or not that chemistry with Giannis and Dame is going to get to the point where Doc wants it by the time they get to the playoffs.
Probably not this season, just because of all the changes, but have been improved. Watch in the secondary breaks when Lillard is bringing the ball up. A lot of the times it ends up being Lillard and Giannis on one side of the court, and whoever the other three Bucks are, they're on the other side of the court. And that's not by accident. That's on purpose. So that's to go right into that two-man game to get them those reps. So just kind of for listeners out there, pay attention to that next time. There's a lot of times that happens where Lillard's bringing it up, Giannis is on that same side of him, and they can go into that two-man game. So they're going to try to get as many reps as possible. I think it'll look a lot better next year after they'll have even more time together, but they're going to continue to try to get it to at least a serviceable spot here heading into the postseason and with their last 11 regular season games.
Talking with Brian Sampson, Bucks Film Room on Twitter, writes for Forbes Sports here on the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops post-game show, served up by Wendy's after the Bucks win 118-93. You're listening to 1250 AM The Fan. Brian, when we talk about this offense, another person that I'm going to bring up, because again, I'm not a biggest member of his fan club, like Nathan Marzion is on the Green and Growing postgame show. Pat Connaughton tonight, you know, 5 of 9, struggled from 3 for 11 points. Playoff Pat is different than regular season Pat. How much confidence should we have in Pat Connaughton figuring this out for the playoffs?
It'll be interesting. He'll need to knock down some threes. I've been a critic of his for the last probably 2 years here. I mean, last postseason against the Heat, he played well, but all of last regular season, he struggled. He hasn't been as bad this regular season, but tonight, one thing that really stuck out to me was his ability to make cuts when Giannis and Dame drew all that defensive attention. That'll be huge. He only went 1 for 5 from behind the arc, but he was 4 for 4 with 4 shots right at that, you know, block to block of those dunker spots. So that'll be interesting. Can he make an impact that way? Defensively, I think he's lost a step, maybe even 2 steps. He's not somebody that you really want out there guarding elite scorers. He can kind of blend in by guarding a couple of different positions, but overall he's going to have to make some plays, those hustle plays. He's going to have to do some of those things, and I think he'll have a pretty short leash because he's made his name under Budenholzer. Budenholzer isn't here anymore.
I want to get your thoughts on Chris Middleton before we end this. Middleton triple-double, first one since 2018. That's a long time without a triple-double for Middleton, but he's been hurt and banged up. That's part of it. What have you seen from Middleton, and just how big do you think he is for this Bucks team in the playoffs?
He's looked really good. I mean, this was his, third game back or something like that. But he's looked really good. He has looked spry out there. He really brings that third playmaker to the table where not a lot of teams have a Chris Middleton type guy who can play off of two superstars. And so Milwaukee's going to need him. You mentioned his chemistry with Giannis. And really, he has a lot of chemistry with Brooke Lopez, too. And so he's looked really good. That playmaking, we've seen him rack up several assists here in the last few games. And so that'll be really critical because teams are going to get the ball out of Dame's hand. They're going to want to get the ball out of Giannis's hand. And then that leaves Middleton to do a lot of that work. So I think he'll be really key, and it's been encouraging. Now the question is, can he stay healthy?
One last thing. What does this team still have to work on to get better at between now and the playoffs to make you feel confident they can be a championship caliber team?
Consistency. That's one thing we have not seen all year is consistency. Can they put together, for over the last 3-4 weeks, can they put together a hot streak here to carry themselves into the postseason? Because in the postseason, I mean, if you have 2-3 bad games, you could be down 0-2, you could be down 1-2. That's a hard hole to dig out of. They weren't able to dig out of that against Miami Heat last year. So that really, that consistency is huge of, can they put together a long stretch of good games against good opponents? They play the Lakers on Tuesday and then the Pelicans again on Thursday, I believe. And so can they start to rack up? You know, we've seen them beat good teams like they did against the Thunder, but can they do it again and then again and then again?
All right, Brian, what do you want to plug? What do you want to promote over there at Forbes Sports or over there at Bucks Film Room on Twitter?
Yeah, I mean, follow me on Bucks Film Room on X or Twitter or whatever it's called.
Right.
I do a podcast too, Bucks Film Room Podcast. That's a great spot to talk about Bucks, and I try to get into some of the film work there and break down some different sets or different actions that I'm seeing and really kind of try to bring a different perspective to the game as far as helping fans become more knowledgeable.
Yep, and that is, I'm telling you, it's worth the price of admission, which is free, to go check this out, man. He is really, really good. I mean, the Packers, the NFL, everybody's a film analyst on Twitter for the NFL and the Packers. But this is really the only dude doing it. Eric Name does some of it as well in his athletic pieces, but that's about it. So I'm telling you, go check out Brian Sampson. You will absolutely love it if you're a Bucs fan. Brian, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Brian Sampson. Again, follow him on Twitter at Bucks Film Room. Bucks get a win today against the Oklahoma City Thunder. 118-93. Very, very happy about that. Can't wait to hear what Doc Rivers had to say after this one, and we'll do that next here on the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Let's hear what the coach had to say about today's game. Next on the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show, served up by Wendy's with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Bucks get the victory tonight, 118-93 over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Knock off the best team in the West. And we can sit here and talk about who you think the best team in the West is, but facts are facts. They were the best team in the West, and they took care of things against Oklahoma City. Now, again, you get them again, second to last game of the year at Oklahoma City, so we'll see what that looks like. We'll see who's playing for either team. We'll see if the Thunder have anything to play for at that point. Will the SGA even play in that game? Will Giddey play in that game? Will Holmgren play in that game if there's nothing to play for? Will the Bucks have something to play for in the second to last game of the season, or will their seating be wrapped up and Giannis is going to sit and Middleton and those guys? So could mean a lot for one of them, could mean a lot for both of them, and we could see a heck of a basketball game in OKC. When we get to that point, I think it's April 12th. We'll just have to wait and see. Hey, Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee is about to change what it means to bet big and bet bold with a huge video wall, seating for over 200, an expanded food menu, and more. The new Potawatomi Sportsbook is the ultimate sports fan experience. The state-of-the-art venue opens up this May. It's going to knock your socks off. Promise you, it's going to knock your socks off. You are just going to be like, damn, Sparky, you weren't kidding. Nope, I'm not. I'm telling you. Sometimes I blow things up, and sometimes, you know, when I get super excited about something, then it's like, oh, Sparky, there you go. You got your hopes up and you were crushed because it wasn't what you said it was going to be. Or that team wasn't as good, or that player wasn't as good, right? Brandon Jennings comes to mind. I wanted to have his mom on to thank her for giving birth to him. Remember, I said that to Brandon Jennings after the 55-point game that night against the Warriors years ago on the post-game show. I was so excited that Jennings went off and did that. That did work out the way I thought it was going to work out, but either way. All right, let's hear from Doc Rivers, who talked after this one. And again, you'd have to imagine that Doc Rivers is as excited as we all are about what he saw tonight from this Milwaukee Bucks basketball team, specifically the defensive end holding SGA to 12 points. Like, you would think Doc is going to be like, yeah, that's what it's got to look like every night. I haven't heard Doc yet, but that's what I would be saying if I was Doc in this moment in time after this one. This is what Doc Rivers had to say.
Game, you know, both ends. I just thought we were defensively, we were so physical tonight. Like, you could literally see it. Switches were aggressive, you know. And then offensively, we took what was there instead of forcing it. Like, they decided they're going to trap Dame every time, and they're going to trap Giannis. And we told them that. And, like, instead of forcing it, just give up yourself, keep moving the ball, and keep making the right plays. And we did that. So we had 2 minutes of bad basketball. I thought that was right before 3 minutes, right before the half, going into halftime. I thought we took first shots. Good shots, you know, even, but there were great opportunities, and we talked about that at halftime, and I thought our guys did a great job in the second half.
I'm sort of off the, you know, playing good offense and not forcing it. Chris and Dame in particular, I think they each only hit one shot in the first half, but yet didn't really try to force it on their own. They still kept distributing and even rebounding, playing defense.
Yeah, and both of them defensively, you know. It's just a good thing. Like, you know, I said at halftime, every night, everybody doesn't get to have a night. You know, there's going to be nights where the defense is just going to take someone out of the game, or you're just going to struggle because you're human. And don't worry about it. Just keep playing the right way, and it'll all work out. And it'll work out. So I thought both of them, when you look at, you know, Kristen's up with a triple-double, Dame ends up having the bigger second half, but they just both played right. You know, you couldn't see the stress on their face. They didn't care. The team was doing well.
You mentioned the physicality, just defensively, mentally, to be as sharp as you were for that whole night. Just what did you see from the guys?
That, I thought we had a really active practice shoot around yesterday. You know, we talked about the switching off the ball, which we don't do. We did that tonight a lot. But if we're going to switch to block, meaning switch and make them go the other way. They got two or three back cuts on that, which, you know, film-wise, we'd have to look and see why. But it was just so much more physical than we've been. And we have size. I keep saying it. We're not track stars, but we are physical when we play that way. And I thought we did that tonight.
I know you mentioned Giannis's unselfishness, but it also just felt like he was too big for them.
We had Bobby, Brooke, and Giannis, and we talked about it before the game. You know, there's games, you know, I don't know what game it was when I said, hey, guys, we're going to need to score 140 tonight. And so you have a different mindset. Tonight, we said, hey, guys, this has to be power basketball tonight, power basketball. I need our bigs, some big, to run down the middle of the floor and just bury yourself. And we have to find you. And I thought we did that several times tonight. And that's what we have to do. They had one big on the floor for most of the game. So once one of our bigs had a matchup, and I thought we did an excellent job of that.
It had been a minute since you obviously had your starting five and guys on the floor. You know, was it surprising to you almost to see everything click and everybody play together so smoothly, or considering
how
you've been
building? There's still things you see as a coach that we don't see, and, you know, there's always something, you know. But overall, I just love the passing. Chris is such a smart player, kind of plays at the right tempo for us. Dame as well. You know, both of them made just incredible passes tonight, and Giannis the entire night. So it's a good sign.
Dame obviously struggled a little bit tonight, but just talk about the performances from Bobby, Jay, and Pat. They combined for 36 points off the bench. Just how big was that with Dame struggling?
Our bench was huge, you know. And again, none of them got it off the dribble. They just got it off the pass. Pat Connaughton is so important to our team. You know, you see that every night. But, like, he created more points than he scored tonight with his cuts. He just knows when to cut. Best guard, and he's been this way for years. His ability to read the dunker spot and where to go is just amazing. And our guy's ability to find him. But he had two cuts where he didn't touch the ball, but it created a three because they reacted to it. And it's just his timing. He's so important to our team.
Very, very important. No doubt about it. There he is, Doc Rivers, courtesy of Bally Sports Wisconsin. After this one, and the Bucks come up with the victory tonight, 118-93. Listen to Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show, served up by Wendy's. See Sparky Pfeiffer with you. And I want to talk a little bit about what he said there as far as talking to his team. Okay, guys, I need this out of you, or I need this out of you. And kind of giving the lay of the land of what he wants from certain players and how he wants to attack the game plan. And again, when Bud was here, did you hear a lot of that necessarily in press conferences? I don't recall a lot of that. Adrian Griffin gave you nothing in his press conferences, so you really got none of that. This is, I think I say it every show. Every show I get after I listen to Doc is just beautiful. Because you literally learn from Doc how he's coaching and what he's doing. He's giving you an inside look as far as how they're going about their business. It's a great thing. And when guys know what's expected of, okay, there's some pressure on me to do A, B, and C tonight in order for us to win. And other guys know that the pressure is on them, that they got to be the guys tonight because that's where Doc thinks the Bucks have the advantage. Beautiful. Nothing to argue about there. Nothing to see here. We're just doing what we were told. And the best part is when Doc says, do A, B, and C, and we'll win, and then the Bucks go and do A, B, and C, and they win comfortably, what does that do? Instills trust. Not that they don't trust Doc A man's got a championship. Man's in the postseason every year he's coaching, all that. I get all that. But still, anytime you have a team with a new coach, there is still going to be some of that trust factor. Okay, you said we're going to do this and we'll win. Fine. We did that, and not only did they win, they won going away. That builds chemistry. That builds belief in what the goal is of getting everybody on the same page. There's no, oh man, I wish we kept Adrian Griffin. And again, I don't know if anybody said that, but there's none of that. Because he's proving to you, game in, game out, that what he wants you to do is working. And if it's working, that means everybody's going to buy in as you take the next step forward about whatever else you may ask this team to do going forward. So I love it. That was a part of the presser while I was listening to it that I was very, very happy to hear. Chris Middleton, he talked after the game, not very long, but after the game for a little bit with Melanie Ricks.
Chris, congratulations on the win. First, we got to talk about this triple-double. Your second in your career, the first one since 2018. How did it feel?
That was cool. I'm just glad I got one more possession to get one more chance at it. Thankfully, I knocked that shot. But, you know, it's my teammates. You know, they finished a lot of tough shots for me. The bigs were great down low, stealing their guy, getting in once, and just being big and dominant down there.
Well, and speaking of, what a dominant game from you and your teammates. That ball was really moving on a string tonight. What did this win say about your team moving forward?
It's a good win against a good team. You know, they're trying to play their best basketball. We're trying to do the same. So this is a great win. We just got to keep building on this for the rest of the season.
Thanks, Chris. Congrats.
Thanks.
That's right. Just keep building on it, right? And Mike McCarthy would say, you know, stacking successes, that's what you're trying to do. And I think that's exactly what every NBA team is trying to do now as, you know, you're under a month away from the postseason starting in the NBA. These games now become a little bit more important. Kind of like if you look at Major League Baseball, you know, the Brewers put up, what, 14 or something like that today in their exhibition win, in their preseason game, spring training game, whatever you want to call it. But you're at the point now where the starting pitchers that they're facing are starting pitchers that are going to be in the rotation for whatever team you're facing. You know, and today it was Merrill Kelly. Merrill Kelly, he's pretty good. Right. And they killed him. That to me is, you know, going to instill confidence. This means something. With all due respect to the Bucks in the NBA regular season, don't mean a hill of beans in November, December and January. Starts to matter a little bit more as you get closer to the trade deadline. Then after the trade deadline, then momentum starts to pick up. And by the time you get to within a month of the season ending, now it's about building momentum, playing your best basketball, and going into the playoffs hot. That's where we are right now. And that's why when Middleton says, hey man, they're trying to win like we're trying to win. This is coming up towards the end of the season, and we're trying to, you know, see who the best is here heading into the postseason. David tweets at 12:50 a.m. The Fan and at Sparky Radio says, what impressed me the most is Doc running Chris back out there just to get his triple-double. That is a player's coach, and I don't remember the last time I've seen a Milwaukee coach allow for personal accomplishments when he should have been sitting by then. I disagree. Adrian Griffin did it for Giannis earlier this year. Adrian Griffin was more than willing, I think, to do it for players and did do it for Giannis specifically. But I am with you in the fact of should have been sitting. Yes, Giannis also should have been sitting at that point and should not have been out there. And he had both of them still out there playing in the middle of the fourth quarter when, again, in my mind, the game was over. Yeah, by 20, 25 points with 5-6 minutes to go, it's done. Get them out of there. But again, he was allowing that. Once Middleton got the triple-double, he yanked him. All right, it's been fun. Out you come. Right? And Middleton gets it. So that's cool. And there's nothing wrong with being a player's coach. I think it's good. I think it gets people to buy in. Does not mean that you have more of a chance of winning a championship if you're a player's coach or not a player's coach. I don't think it correlates. I don't. Now, you know, NBA players may call in and be like, Sparky, you're wrong. It does matter. You know, we play harder for player coaches than we do for guys that, you know, we're not willing to run through a wall for, or whatever the case may be. Bill Belichick, player's coach? I don't know. Screaming, yelling, embarrassing dudes like Tom Brady in team meetings and all these other stories you hear, and these guys that leave and just curse the way things were handled in New England by Belichick? That doesn't seem like a player's coach. Man got to a lot of Super Bowls. Got to a lot of Super Bowls. They lost some, but they won their fair share. Not players coach, but they won. So I don't think you have to necessarily be a players coach
in order to win at a high level in the NBA. But I'm sure it helps. I'm sure it helps. No question about that. Coming up next is the LA Lakers. That game is on Tuesday night. We'll be back on the air Tuesday night following that one. Lakers right now home against the Indiana Pacers. That game is on NBA TV following this Bucks victory. And we'll see what this Laker team looks like coming in on Tuesday night. You know, who's playing, who's not playing. Say what you want. I have my own conspiracy theories. I don't think a lot of dudes want to play coming to Milwaukee. I think if given the opportunity to stay home or go, I think they'd rather stay home than come. Plain and simple. Now, maybe it's a little bit different in March than it is in December, January, and February when it's cold and snowy, but hell, we had snow here today. Now, it's supposed to be in the 50s tomorrow and Tuesday with rain, apparently, but I really think there is something to the fact of guys just don't even want to come to Milwaukee and play. So if given the opportunity to rest, I think they would obviously take the opportunity to rest and not even make the trip. The Lakers, on the other hand, I don't think are in a position to be resting guys the rest of the year. Like, if you can play, you're playing. Because right now, they sit three games from being out of the playoffs, and the Rockets are rolling. They've won eight in a row. So the Rockets are one game out of the play-in behind Golden State. They're three behind the Lakers, who are currently ninth, and the Lakers are two up on Golden State for that 10th spot, three behind Sacramento and Dallas, who are at 7-8 in the play-in. So this is a big game for the Lakers. Heck, every game is a big game for the Lakers kind of going forward. So it's going to be another test for the Bucks to see what it looks like when they get this game against the Lakers coming up here. Because they come out and they put on a same type of clinic as they did tonight against the Lakers. Then again, you can start talking about consistency and this team kind of going back in the right direction. That game's on TNT as well. So that's a 6:30 start on TNT coming up on Tuesday night. So there'll be a national audience watching. I don't know how much it matters to a Giannis or a Lillard or a Middleton or a Lopez if they're on TNT or not, or tonight NBA TV. I think now, with as much success as this Bucks team has had, as much success as the individuals I just mentioned have had, I don't know if it means as much. Maybe it does because you still, you know, have Ernie and Shaq and Barkley and Kenny Smith and those guys possibly talking about you if you're on TNT throughout the course of the year. Maybe it still means something, but I don't think it means as much as when, you know, the organization hasn't been on TNT in 10 years and now you're on two or three times. Then it obviously means something, especially if you went through the struggles. That'll do it for the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops post-game show. Bucks get a victory tonight. We'll be back at it again Tuesday night, immediately following that one between the Bucks and the Lakers. Have a good night. Toodles.